Jesus was a man who performed many miracles when he was ministering. For 3 years as he ministered, lives were completely changed. On the day of Pentecost, 120 people, many of them were coarse, many of them were corrupted, had been corrupted. Some women were delivered from demonic activity. And yet, 120 people gathered in an upper room, and God came to them. When they came out, they were different. They were changed. God had supernaturally touched and changed their lives. A man called Peter, one of the chief apostles with Jesus, began to preach a sermon. And as he began to speak to people who were looking at these lives, they came out and there was a boldness about them. There was a change about them. Something was completely different. And the people were saying, well, this difference that we're seeing, it's got to be because they drunk. The change is so significant. The change was so supernatural, so significant, that they said that these people, to be so changed, it had to be something greater than themselves, and they were attributing this to alcohol. But we know it was the power of Almighty God. Peter stood up and he said, no, you don't understand. What's happened to us is we have received the power of God into our lives, and our life has been automatically changed by God's supernatural power. And he began to speak. And as one of the things that he said about Jesus, let me read it to you. It says, Jesus of Nazareth was a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him. And so this was the testimony that Peter had. He said, when Jesus Christ was with us, God approved him. And the proof that Jesus was from God, the Son of God, was the fact that when he touched somebody's life, miracles happened. People's lives were miraculously changed. Blind eyes were opened up. Lame legs just stood and people began to walk. There was supernatural change. And this was God's approval of his Son. That this was truly the Son of God. And he was approved of by God by the miracles that were performed. When you take a look in the original language on this word miracle, it comes from a Greek word by the name dunamis. Dunamis simply means in the Greek terminology that this was a supernatural working of an almighty God. Nothing less. Now we know, as I mentioned, 2009 is coming. We've got our own little resolutions. Clothes are fitting a little bit tight, and so we make our own resolutions. People can make resolutions. People can make a resolution to give up smoking, and they can. People can make resolutions to stop drinking, and they can. There's many things that the human body can stop. There are things that you can control, things that you can stop in your own natural power. But there's one thing that you can't do. You cannot change your life. That only comes by the supernatural working power of Almighty God. That's why the miracles that were performed, the Greek calls it dunamis. Power from God. An external power that comes and supernaturally changes the heart, takes out the heart of stone and puts in a heart of flesh. From unbelief to faith. A life that was going in this direction is now turned and going in a completely other direction, and all because of the supernatural power of God. So Peter stands up and he says that this Jesus was approved of by God by these kinds of miracles. And see, the people at that time, there wasn't this great consciousness of God in their midst. But now they're seeing lives that are supernaturally changed. And Peter attributes this change to the miraculous power of God. He goes on to say that Jesus was approved of God because of the miracles and then wonders. Now, the wonders, simply, in simple terms, are those things which are done by God that cause people to step back and to marvel. I remember the day so well. You know, when I think back of my parents, what they observed, it must have been a marvel to them. By the one day I'm leaving and becoming a hippie, living on drugs for a number of years, coming back after a motorcycle accident, 18 stitches in my face, stitches in my head, this arm in a cast because it was smashed. My thumb came through my wrist as the, you know, I was smashed doing drugs, and this car, you know, rode into me, and I had, through barbiturates, I'd shrunk down to 130 pounds, 6 foot, 3.5 inch frame down to 130 pounds. And so I came back long hair, greasy, because I couldn't wash my hair because of all the stitches, jeans that had patches all over them, sandals. So they see this person coming into their household one day. And during that same week, I'd called, who is now my wife, I called Nolene, who's now my wife, and she said, "Oh, we ought to go see my parents." And I'm thinking, great. And they didn't like me then, they're going to like me even less now. So we go up to her parents, and this is like over a couple of weeks, and then I see her, then we make the plans, we go up to her parents. On the way back from her parents, we stop into this church where her sister is now serving God, and she's on fire, and her husband are saying, "You got to come to church." And we don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to church. It's the last thing I'll do. Well, I get to church that night, and that evening, I give my life to Jesus Christ. Completely, supernaturally, miraculously, delivered from drugs and set free. Jesus came into this life, and my life was completely changed. Now you've got to think of my parents sitting back in this time. They see me coming this way. I'm there for a week and, you know, week and a half, nearly 2 weeks, and I leave, and I'm sure they said, "Praise God." And, well, they didn't say praise, well, thank, whatever. And then they see the same person coming in. Nothing has changed visibly. I've still got long hair, still can't wash because the sutures are not taken out of my scalp. I got this long old scar down my face, and I'm still looking the same. I haven't put on any weight. I'm still 130 pounds. But the person who left the house is not the same person coming back into the house. And the person coming in is completely changed. I don't know what must have been going on in their minds. And you see, this is what Peter is talking about. It's a marvel. They stood back and they said, "This is amazing. This is something so completely different. They'd never seen it. How do you go out one way and come back in the other way completely changed? Completely changed." And it wasn't long before God was changing the exterior as well. But it's the amazing thing. And this is what Peter is saying when these people said, "Well, the change is so miraculous." Peter says, it's because God approved Jesus as the Son of God. And when he comes into anybody's life, he comes with a miraculous power to change you from one person into another person. He comes changing you, breaking the powers of hell from this to that. The change is supernatural. It's so wonderful. This is what he is saying, that God approved Jesus with wonders. It causes people to step back in amazement and to marvel that this could actually happen to an individual. And this is the amazing thing that was taking place on that day. Peter says, don't marvel at this. This is God. God is the only one that can take a life and completely supernaturally change them and cause people to step back and say, wow, there is a difference in this life. Immediately, things were broken in my life. Immediately, no more drugs. Immediately, language changed and there was no longer cussing. Immediately, there was going to church with this big Bible under my arm. Changes are immediate, causing people to marvel. Only God can do something like this. Hallelujah. Only God. And this is what the people were witnessing on this day. He goes on to say that Jesus was approved by God, not only by miracles, but also by wonders. And that's the marvel, that God did something supernatural in somebody's life. It was so miraculous, it causes people to wonder. And by signs. Now, beloved, when you get to this word signs, you can go into the original. It's literally signs that people one day were blind, now they can see, deaf, now they can hear, lame, now they can walk and praise and go into places that they couldn't go before. They can walk, they can jump, they can praise God. These are the things that happened. Leprous people got healed. These are the signs. So the people themselves became a token. Now the word sign in the original language means a token. It means this is a token, an example in the world of what God can do. So these 120 people, in a real sense, had become the token of God. God was putting them out there for people to see that these were coarse people. These were fishermen. They were coarse. Their language was coarse. Their manners were coarse. Their whole life was one of rugged fishermen on the banks of Galilee. Now there's a change taking place. There were women who were demon-possessed. There were men who were demon-possessed. There were others who had life-changing experience. And God came and he said, these become tokens. You don't realize that you become the token of God, of the supernatural, of what he can do in a life. Your life, suddenly you go back on the job. From being in here today, some of you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Tonight you're going to meet him. Tomorrow when you go to work, people are going to say, what has happened to you? This is supernatural. This is miraculous. Husbands are going to receive women whose lives are completely changed. Wives are going to receive husbands tonight back into the home with lives completely changed. And only God can do it. And the most amazing thing is you don't have to wait for God to come to you. You can go to God. In the book of Mark, chapter 2, you see, when there comes a consciousness of God, in this lazy, hazy town of Capernaum, it was way up north of Galilee. It was in the farthest outreaches of the land of Israel. It wasn't close to Jerusalem. It wasn't close to, there was a place that you could pass, and boats would come down Galilee, and there would be a place to receive taxes. It was a moderate city, but it was a lazy, hazy town. And who would ever think, beyond their wildest imaginations, it was incomprehensible or inconceivable that God could come to this lazy, hazy town of Capernaum. Way up there on the northern borders of the Lake of Galilee. And you see, there wasn't a consciousness that God could even come to them. People's lives were lived, and there were fishermen on the lake shores, and there was a mixture of people from the northern reaches and of Israelites. It was a strange mixture of this place. These people were living in a town, in the sunny town and backwoods of Capernaum. Who would have ever begun to even think for a second that God himself would come to this place and awaken in the hearts and minds of people that there was a need for God, that God would even visit them? There was this whole sense of, we're here, but God may go to Jerusalem. God may go to, Samaria. But to go to the northern reaches of Galilee, to a place called Capernaum, nobody would think in their minds that God would actually visit them. And yet this is what Jesus does. He's from Nazareth, and he makes his way up, and he's baptized in the Jordan at the lower part of Galilee. If you just go to the back of a Bible, you can just track the early days of Jesus. But then he makes his way. He starts making his way up to this place called Capernaum. Beloved, they had the same mentality that you and I many times embrace. It's inconceivable to us at times to think, would God even come to us? Why would he want to? Why would God want to come to my house? Why would God want to come visit my life? Why would he want somebody, who was drifting and aimless and without God? Why would he want somebody like this? And this is what the attitude was in Capernaum. It was dry, hot, dusty, and a wayward place, out of the way, one of the farthest reaches. Yet Jesus goes to the farthest reaches to find one person that he can do a miraculous sign in their lives and change them from what they were to what they can be in him. Hallelujah. It ought to give us hope. That's why I love to watch these script. I like to read the scriptures and watch the picture evolve as you take a look, that in the farthest reaches, God would come. You might have reached the farthest reaches of your life thinking God would never come to where you are. Folks, that's exactly what he wants to do. He comes to where you live. He comes to the place where you reside. He knocks on the door. And there's times when you suddenly become God conscious, that you can act upon that consciousness. We've been listening to testimonies tonight. We've been listening to songs tonight. And what it does, it begins to awaken a consciousness of the need of God within us. Let me put it to you this way. Let me give you a quick illustration, whether it works or not, I'm not sure, but it just has come to mind. Just recently, I had the privilege of changing automobiles, and the particular automobile that I've got now is one that I've never owned this particular brand of vehicle before, and not that I'd even taken much notice of this particular brand of vehicle either, but it's amazing. The moment that you acquire something that is so different, you suddenly see that automobile everywhere. Before, you didn't even think they existed. It's like when you got that new coat for Christmas and you felt so special. That loved one in your life gave you that gorgeous coat that nobody else had until you went to the mall and saw 1,000 with them. And suddenly your eyes are open to the consciousness that there are others with the same brand, the same automobile, it's the same things. And you see, this is what God does. He suddenly opens up the mind, the consciousness. You need God. And then you come to a house like this and you think, well, it's strange. I don't know if I want to go to church. They're all crazy kind of people in church, and I'm not sure I want to be there. But then you come into a house like this and you suddenly see that there's hundreds of people who love God. It's safe. And this is what God wants to do. He wakens up this little town of Capernaum. He just wakes them up out of their slumber, out of their sleep. It's like a God consciousness comes upon their mind. And for four people, it became such a reality to them that they had a friend who was paralyzed. And in that paralytic condition, I don't know how old the person was, but obviously it took four men to carry him. So he must have been a mature individual. He must have been a grown-up, because it wouldn't be like a babe being carried in the arms of a father or a single person. This man is a mature individual, and it takes four of them to take each corner of the mat and head their way to this house where Jesus was teaching. A consciousness of the need of God had risen in their hearts. And they recognized that God was in this place. And this is what changed lives do. It causes people to recognize, I have a need of God, because you could never be the person that I'm looking at unless God changed you. And that's the consciousness that the Christian brings to the workplace, to the home, to the, to wherever you shop, wherever you live. People stand back and there's something different. And it's God who's made the change. These four men recognize that there's a consciousness and a need of God. So they take this man and they carry him to the house. But when they get there, there's just so many people jammed in the house, jam-packed. They can't get in. There's no way they can press through the crowds. It is completely full. They tried this way. They tried that way. They just couldn't get by. Nobody wants to give up their spot when God is in the house. Hallelujah. Nobody wants to go, hey, no, don't you push me. I can hardly see myself. Well, so what? If he can't walk, he can't walk. I got to see God. And see, this is when God comes to your life, he begins to permeate everything of life so that life becomes conscious about one thing only. I want to see God. I want to see God change my life. I want to see the miraculous in my life. And this is what these men see. They can't get in. So they go to the roof. And I studied. I went to the original language to make sure that the language was correct. These guys climb on the roof. And I don't know how they hauled this man up, pulled him, drug him. One guy got up and began to pull. The other began to push. I don't know how they got this guy on the roof, whether there was a ladder or steps going up to the top. But they got on the roof. Think it through. Then there's the scratching and the beating. So I looked up the original language. It literally means that they began to physically dig up the roof. They began pulling tiles, began breaking down the roof. Now, you know, if you've been in any kind of construction work ever in your life or been privileged to see people in construction, you know that there's just as much mess coming into the house as there is going on the outside of the house. But Jesus doesn't stop anything. He sees the ceiling cracking and he says, okay, guys, just mind out the way. Boom, a piece of ceiling falls to the ground. It's Jesus doesn't stop because he knows that something has awoken in the heart of these people that only God can do. And they want to get to God. And they digging that roof open and they open up enough space to lower this guy down. We got to get this man to Jesus one way or another. They recognize God was there and they've got to get this man to God. And they start to lower this man down. And in a moment of time, God does what no physician can do. God does what nobody else can attempt to do. He tells this man, get up. First he says, your sins are forgiven. It causes a squabble. And he comes in and he says, what is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven you or take up your bed and walk? But he says to the man, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and walk. Now, I don't know how the transfer of power takes place. I don't know. I don't know whether he felt a warm feeling or he just obeyed. The Bible is not clear. Doesn't have to be clear. The power of God was simply displayed. The man who could not walk was now walking. The man who was paralyzed now has strength. And this is the simple message that God brings to you today. In your Capernaum, in your farthest reach away from God, from the center, the epicenter of religious society, Jerusalem, this was one of the farthest places from there. And you may be from the farthest center of knowing God, and yet he comes to you. And even if you have to dig away a few things, some pride, dig away at some fear, dig away at maybe a tile of self-consciousness, the things that hold you back from God, the beams that are in your life that you've held tenaciously to, that you'd never walk down an aisle in a church and stand in front, tear it up. These men tore all of these things up that would hold this person from coming to God. And maybe right now, you're in the battle of your life, and you know that God will be approved in your life by powers and a supernatural and miraculous working in your life. But maybe there's something you've got to do. It's never on works. But maybe you've got to just say to your pride, enough of you tonight. Self-consciousness, enough of you tonight. Besetting sin, I'm handing you over to God tonight. And I can tell you that if you are willing, God will make a way for you. He'll do a miracle in your life. There was a famous German painter, and I'm going to close on this. There was a famous German painter, and I wrote his name down here because I wanted to share it with you. And it was Herbert von Herkommer. And he came from Germany. He lived in the UK, and he became a famous artist. And he's got paintings in the Tate Gallery in the UK. And he, many, many years ago, when he came over to the UK to live and to paint and to go to school and then to paint, he brought his father over to join him. And his father was an expert woodcutter. But as his family, you know, passed on and his old age father remained, he brought him to live with him in the UK. And this elderly man wanted to help his son. He saw that he's an artist and starving artist go together and wanted to help. And so being talented to some degree, he decided that he would begin to model some clay into plates, into vases, into dishes. And he'd begin to sell these clay plates and dishes to help pay the costs of living with his son. And it's an amazing story, because this father, as he got older, couldn't exactly mold the plates on the wheel as they should. And he was leaving lumps of clay that was unworked in it, and it was you know, not smooth, and it wasn't looking that great. And in great discouragement, the father would go to bed at night and just be so self-condemned that he couldn't assist his son in helping with this, you know, fixing up the plates and the dishes on the wheel, and be very discouraged. The son saw this, saw what was taking place, and in the middle of the night, the son would get up, he would come down into the studio, and he would re-wet the clay, and he'd begin to work it. And because he was so skilled, he began to put little things in that were just absolutely magnificent. He would smooth it out. He would correct all the mistakes. He would take out the lumps. He would begin to fill it around until that plate was perfect. He became so famous that these plates became in demand. And the old man would come down and would, well, maybe I didn't do such a bad job after all. And the plate was looking great. So, well, maybe I did. And he'd again, that same day, he would fashion some more, and there'd be the kinks, the lumps. And every night, the sun would come down, and he would take that piece of pottery, wet it, rework it, and bring it to an amazing finish. Folks, I want to tell you, no matter how hard you work at your own life, you're always going to be incomplete. It takes the Son of God to come down into your life and to fashion you into the kind of vessel that God wants. Amen? Only God can do it. Peter stood up and said Jesus was approved by miraculous signs, wonders, miracles, wonders, and signs. Tonight I want to ask you, do you want Jesus to perform the miraculous in your life? Simple question. Do you want that? Has there been an awakening in your heart towards God? A God consciousness that you know can only be satisfied by Jesus Christ coming and doing a miracle in your life, changing you from this kind of a person and making you into the kind of person that He desires. If that is you tonight, and you know that God's calling you, I urge you by the power of the Holy Spirit to make your decision for God. He won't disappoint you. He's never disappointed any single person who's come to Him. And tonight is your option. If you're a backslider and you've gone from God and you know, hardness has come in, let God soften you one more time under His masterful hand and make you into the vessel of His choosing. I'm going to ask you just to very quietly stand to your feet with no moving about. Souls are in the balance tonight. Please, everybody, just stand to your feet. No moving to the aisles yet. And I want you to hear me carefully. You've been awoken to God, and God wants to come into your life tonight. I'm going to ask you to do something. It might be the tearing up of the roof that you have to go through right now, But if you want to receive Jesus Christ and let him do a miraculous change in your life, I want you to do something very, very simple tonight. Just put your hand straight up in the air. Stick it straight up, unashamedly. Look at all these hands going up. You want God to come into your life. You want him to do a change. Look at all these hands. Now I'm going to ask you to do a second thing. I'm going to ask you just to simply step out to the aisle. You got your hand up. You might as well take the rest of the roof apart, as it were, and come straight down to God. Just step out into the aisles right now as we hear the piano begin to play. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling you. Just step out in the aisles, in the balcony, do the same. You got your hand up, just step into the aisles, and you come down to the altar tonight, and God is going to meet you. He's going to take this clay and remake you into the vessel of his choosing. We're going to just sing a song, and you are free to come. How many of you, for the very first time, want to say, Jesus, come into my life? Just put your hand up if that's you tonight. Look at all these hands here. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. I'm going to pray for you first. And then I'm going to pray for those that are needing God just to come and do a miracle in your life. And you're welcome to pray the prayer with me tonight for those that have raised their hand up and want to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. One of the first things we do is we acknowledge that we are a sinner. And we ask God to forgive us. And then we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life. You see, the miracle belongs to him. And you are changed because God comes to live within you. The Holy Spirit will come in to your life and begin to live in you. That you won't have to try to work at anything. God does all the work. He is the new life. And he changes our hearts and gives us a brand new one. Now, for those who raised their hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and that I need you. I need the miracle of a changed life. I can't do it. I've tried and I've failed. But tonight, I recognize that only you can change my heart and change my life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I confess them out to you. I give them to you. And now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of everything I've done that is wrong and against you. Now, Lord Jesus, I ask you in simple faith to come and live in me. I give you my life. Come and live in mine. I receive you tonight as my Lord and my Savior. And I proclaim with my mouth, I believe in my heart. And now I proclaim with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord. I thank you that I am on my way to heaven and that I am a child of God from this moment onwards. Amen. Now give him thanks for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are? Now, for those who need a miracle, you've been far from God, and you need the touch of God again on your life. If that's you, simply yield to him. Just say, God, I give you my life. And just like that sun would come down and remold, God, only God has the power to soften your heart towards people, towards him. And I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I have drifted. I've gone to far reaches away from you. But you have come to me tonight. And I thank you that I can give to you all of the things that I have been doing while living away from you. I can't soften my heart, but you can. I give you my life again. I put my life into your care. I give you the right to remold me, to take out the things that are not of you. Thank you, Lord. I believe I am received back into fellowship with you tonight by faith. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's give God thanks tonight. In closing, I want you to say this. A miracle is mine tonight. Say it. A miracle is mine tonight. Do you have it?
Yes.
Praise God. Give Him praise.